Recently, I've gone back to read a book that I liked very much the first time, but a lot of it is way over my head, so I thought I'd read it again and see if I could pick up a little bit more of it this time. It's a book called Invisible Cities, and it is a book of sections, small sections, and each section speaks of a symbolic kind of a city. And these are places described through the framework of a human physical city, but they actually speak, each of them, about some circumstance of the human condition, some way that human beings act or engage the world. The author, for example, speaks of a city on a river that is split in two, of a city made of dreams which become over time broken dreams. He speaks of cities that envy other cities, and of cities that are not cities at all, but are just colonies. In each case, you can take the example he gives and apply it to human nature about the divided nature of our human condition, our priorities, about the way that we dream and the way that we lose those dreams, about the way that we envy, about the way that we think more of ourselves, probably, than we should. Each city described in this book, Invisible Cities, shows us an important and revealing dimension about human nature. In the book, it says this, and it's, let me preface this by saying, it is a fictional account of Marco Polo telling about his travels to Kublai Khan, who was an aging conqueror who was near death. And so Kublai Khan knew his conquering days were over, and he was being comforted by the tales that Marco Polo told him. And the book says this: only in Marco Polo's accounts was Kublai Khan able to discern, through the walls and towers destined to crumble, the tracery of a pattern so subtle it could escape the termites' gnawing. So those invisible cities teach us about something that lasts beyond these things that we see that do not last. So what are the invisible cities for the modern day Christian? These cities which exist and teach us, but which are not visible to the physical eyes. And what can these invisible cities teach us of our faith and our practice of our faith in the world today? The gospel version of invisible cities comes in a teaching we have today, something that we know best as the Beatitudes. Like the author of the book Invisible Cities, Jesus speaks in the Beatitudes of places that are for us important, but often neglected or ignored gifts of human behavior. The Beatitudes speak of a destination not easily discerned, and yet essential, foundational to human joy, peace, and fulfillment. Easily seen cities, the cities built by human beings, are often cities of wealth and accomplishment, acquisition and power. Those are the cities where we seek to live because they feel so familiar and so comfortable. We're not comfortable with the invisible cities. We want something we can see and touch and understand with our brains. We can pursue something in our visible places, something we can see and measure with human tools. But as we live the Christian life, we find out that there is much more that is invisible than what is visible to the eye. St. Augustine, who was one of the most influential persons in the history of Christianity, had a vision about an invisible city that he called the City of God. He spoke of it as a place of renewal, and though he knew well the city bound by earthly needs and priorities, he saw this city, or he discerned this invisible City of God, as something that could give us hope when things are difficult here. He said, in truth, these two cities, the City of Man and the City of God, are entangled together in this world and intermixed until the last judgment will affect their separation. in the City of God, his major written work, he speaks of the hope beyond human existence, which I would see as the same kind of hope Jesus is trying to tell us about in the Beatitudes. Augustine said, "The world is old. It is full of pressing tribulations. Do not hold on to the old man, the world. Do not refuse to regain your youth in Christ, who says to you, 'The world is passing away. The world is losing its grip. The world is short of breath.' Do not fear. Thy youth shall be renewed as an eagle." Things may be very difficult here. We hurt, we mourn, we lose, we suffer, we are in pain. And Jesus says, "Let me tell you about something beyond that that can give you hope." Jesus speaks of a place where people mourn, saying, "Blessed are those who mourn." And we know that visible city of mourning as a place of loss and a place of powerlessness. But when we begin to discern and understand the invisible cities of God, we know that that place of mourning is a place where we have suddenly gained undeniable clarity about what is significant and what is not. I suspect every person in this congregation has lost someone very close to them. And so we all know that those moments teach us to value our loving relationships above all products of human labor. Those invisible cities of God, difficult to discern, are the places where we can find a quiet heart. The Beatitudes speak of these invisible cities of God, and Jesus here speaks later of the poor in spirit. We know that as a visible city where people, human beings, suffer. But in the eternal, that city is called something else. It is the place where what we own does not own us. It is the place liberated from acquisition, where we are free to find depth in eternity and relationship with one another. I do not believe that Jesus here is telling us to seek out these painful places, to choose to go to places of mourning or poverty. He is telling us instead to sharpen our vision, to find eyes of compassion and tenderness, to overcome the cities obviously right in front of us, so that we can see the image of God beneath and behind and within those images. We have to look harder with our human eyes to see what is truly important. It's easy to see the surface things, but it is more important and more life-giving to discern the invisible cities, the gifts that God gives us in our relationship with God and with one another. We learn as we age that the things that fill the resume or the bank account are easy to measure, but they don't matter. The things that truly matter are the things that fill the heart. Our love of God, our love of neighbor and friends and family, and our love of everything that God has created. The city of humans is the place where people are poor. The invisible city of God is the place where people don't measure themselves or others by things that pass away. In the city of humans, people are mourning. And in the invisible city of God, people know what matters eternally. They know what and whom to cherish. In the city of humans, we see meekness as weakness. But in the invisible city of God, we know that being strident, even if you are right, injures, creates damage, and prepares the ground for regret and a cycle of toxicity. The invisible city of God tells us that meekness means humility. It means valuing other persons over winning. It means loving over imagined superiority.
Such are the cities of humans, places of poverty, of mourning, of hunger, of meekness, ridiculed by those who claim to be strong. These are the cities of humans, easily visible, but often toxic and transitory. The invisible city of God, even the places, allows us to see, even in the places of suffering, how to see God in all persons, in all of the creation. We are, after all, the people of God. So doesn't it make sense that we would try to choose the city of God, even if that city of eternity remains invisible to the unpracticed eye? Isn't it worth the effort to discern those invisible cities if they can redeem the suffering that we face? There in the city of God, we can discern through the walls and towers destined to crumble an invisible city that saves us from the visible city of our sun.